morning, everyone. I'm Carolyn Yeager, bringing you the Revisionist Report on this Friday, July 15th. My goodness, we're halfway through July already. Today, Wilf Hank is back to complete part one of what really happened on the Eastern Front. That's my little title for it. In relation to the Holocaust legends. This is the part about the partisans in Einsatzgruppen. There will be more to come about the Soviet-Russian investigations and how their special commissions determined that, quote, massive war crimes, unquote, had taken place on their soil, but not on Monday. On now, Wilf's computer is having health problems and has to go to the computer clinic for an undetermined stay. So we'll pick up on this thread when the computer is all well again. Now, at the end of yesterday's program, Wilf had told us that over 500,000 German soldiers and officers had been killed by partisans carrying out their irregular, illegal warfare. This is on the Eastern Front only. And they were under the command of a Red Army general. Now, these are the people the Russians have always insisted on calling the peaceful Soviet citizens. Okay, good morning, Wilf.
Good morning, Carolyn.
Okay, so glad you're here. And
yeah.
We're going to close off the week with a big bang here.
Uh-oh.
I think.
Uh-oh.
All right, am I correct that you said that in the Soviet Union alone, there were 2 million partisans fighting the Germans?
Yes. That is from a East German source. And, you know, they, as I said yesterday, they really stressed the point that there were many, many participating in this, helping to bring down these Nazi invaders and so on and so forth. And they made no bones about it that a large part of the population participated in it in one form or another. I don't think they are suggesting that when they say over 2 million in the Soviet Union that they were all active fighters and carrying guns. But, you know, supporting personnel, people mm-hmm. that carried messages and helped supply them. Because a lot of these partisans, they camped in the bushes. There are areas in the Soviet Union, the Pripyat swamps, for instance. They were at that time anyway almost impassable. Like and these guys knew their way around and they stood in there. They stayed in there, but they had to get supplies too. They needed to eat and so on and so forth. So I think that is included in that number of 2 million. And well, 4 million sure. total.
Yeah, you said 4 million total across in the entire, all the way down to the southern part. But this is all on the eastern side, though, the 4 million. Does it not include the western front, like the French partisans and stuff?
It does. The 4 million does, but not the two
okay.
million, no.
Okay, all
2 million,
right.
No.
So altogether 4 million. Well, that's mm-hmm. that's really good to know. And that's a huge number, 2 million. That's something that should really make an impression on people. And you say that they're the, you know, they were fighting the invaders. Well, people expect that it's okay if the people rise up and do anything they can to those who invade their country, right? So as
yes.
long as we see the Germans as the invaders, you're not going to get too many people to get too upset about partisan warfare.
Mm-hmm.
But so then that takes us to a whole other topic, which I have talked about and which we can talk about again sometime, and that is the mm-hmm. plan of the Soviets to invade Germany.
Yes.
And the whole business. But we'll come back and we're going to go into this particular question more deeply for the rest of this program. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Have you heard? Proactive is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactive risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactive Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report, and my guest, Wilf Hienk, is telling us about the Partisan and Einsatzgruppen situation on the Eastern Front in World War II. It has been for yesterday and on Tuesday also, and today we're finishing up with this particular part of this story. And I'd like to say, Wilf, that we were just saying that, I was saying that, well, you know, people kind of don't find any fault with those who rise up and fight invaders. You know, the normal people, if they fight in an irregular way, they don't really care how they fight because they feel like they're justified. But now there's more that can be said about that, which you might say. But also, my point here is that the Germans had to do something to deal with these people. They were beyond the reach of the regular army, right? I mean, they couldn't be fought by the regular army. So the Germans had to come up with something. I mean, you know, they had their goals and their objectives, and they were carrying that out. So they had every right to do what they needed to do to deal with these people, correct?
This is correct, Carolyn, and you're absolutely right. It depends on who looks at the issue, the definition. To some of them, they're freedom fighters. To the others, they're terrorists. And mm-hmm. I don't deny them the right to resist the German invasion. I probably would have done the same thing. The issue here, however, is that these partisans were a harsh reality, but now they have almost disappeared from the screen. The Einsatzgruppen were formed to fight these partisans. Now it is said, oh no, the partisans, they were just a minor nuisance here and there. I mean, these guys, these Einsatzgruppen, after they killed 5,000 Jews a day after work, they went to shoot a few partisans. And this is the nonsense I'm trying to address here. Yes. This is absolute nonsense. These guys had their hands full. They never got a handle on it. The damage done that I said yesterday, a million tons or more and 500,000 German soldiers shot and mutilated and so on and so forth, is evidence that they were highly ineffective.
We have to remember that mutilation. I mean, they didn't just kill the Germans. They were terrorists in that then they mutilated their bodies in some of the most terrible ways. and left them for the Germans to find, hoping to frighten them. You know, it was all psychological warfare then going on, too. So it was really down and dirty, really.
It was also to get the Germans to react harshly, because I mentioned that his population were not unfriendly. Some of them looked at the Germans as liberators, and that had to be stopped. The poor people had to be turned around. There is documented evidence that the Soviets said that the Nazi propaganda has been successful, and we must stop this. So this mutilation was something done, and I think one of the callers, Werner, yesterday, he mentioned that they gouged eyes out and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Germans then at times overreacted. They may have leveled a whole village. I mean, and that was intended. And that got people all upset, and they then more and more of them turned against the invaders.
Exactly. And that's really good. See, I forget that. So I'm trying to be fair. I'm trying to think of what people are thinking, you know, and how they might be looking at it. But the purpose was to enrage the German soldiers so that they would carry out atrocities against the villagers. They didn't care about their people.
No.
You know, and so they were hoping that the Germans would do this, and then they would have more to blame the Germans for. Now, this is very similar to Jewish people and groups who create anti-Jewish actions, paintings, swastikas on buildings and dumb things like that, and hoping to blame the some people and call them anti-Semites, hoping to create this kind of a problem when there really wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
go ahead with your prepared material.
This is true. Yeah, and you know, as I wrote you this morning, my computer is giving me grief, and it dropped a lot of stuff again. I just tried and put some stuff together today. I hope it is coherent. If it isn't, stop me and tell me that I'm babbling.
Okay.
Just from yesterday, yet I'd like to just go back to one thing here. And Professor Zeidler, in his book, he writes that the Germans documented over 8,000 cases of atrocities committed by the Allies, mostly Russians, but also Americans and so on and so forth. That was contained in 226 file cases, huge volumes. It was a huge stash. Those files were taken and shipped to the U.S., only to be returned in 1968 with huge gaps missing, files missing, and so on and so forth. That's what Zeidler writes. The Allies were, and he continues, the Allies were not able, right to the end of the war, to make a case against the Germans violating law or anything like that. This only changed when the Russians submitted their reports compiled by the Extraordinary Commission that you had mentioned in the beginning, and we'll get into that in another show, that only then it changed, and they were finally able to take these accused or accuse them and charge them with crimes. And Professor Zeidler backs that up with documents, and I thought this was important to be mentioned.
Yes.
The other thing is, and these gaps in the files missing and so on and so forth, if we have a little time at the end of the show, I'd like to just get briefly into this issue, because there were hundreds of tons of files, and a ton is a little over 2,000 pounds in the developing countries like the U.S. they were taken, but at the IMT, only over, a little over 2,000 pages of documents were used. So can you say selective search or something like that? I mean, they just took out of context and so on.
Cherry picking.
Cherry
another
pick.
Way to cook it.
Yeah, that's all it is. Then also I talked about that partisan warfare and Barbarossa jurisdiction order of May 13, 1941, I have to mention yet that it never reached the troops in that form. von Brauchitsch, who was commander-in-chief of the army, he was concerned about discipline. This is always a concern. Officers are always concerned about discipline of their armed forces, and he felt that by giving them sort of a little bit more freedom to shoot partisans on sight, without due trial, if you will, they would go, because there's always elements in every army that enjoy mm-hmm. killing. Mm-hmm. So he issued a subsequent order on just a couple of weeks later. That reached the troops, and it stressed the point that discipline must be maintained. There will be no random shootings. There will be no anything like that, loitering or anything of the sort. But it turns out that this wasn't even necessary, because on 10th of October, one of the field commanders, his name was von Reichenau, he issued a follow-up order, and in it it says, troops still don't seem to understand that the aim of this campaign is the destruction of Jewish Bolshevik system. The fight against the enemy in the rear is still not taken serious. Partisans and deranged females, he says, are still taken prisoners. Snipers wearing just bits of uniform are treated as soldiers and taken to POW camps. And now this contradicts this order that was depicted at Nuremberg at the IMT as a license to kill. Here it says that soldiers are treating even snipers and bandits as soldiers and taking them to POW camps. Also, he writes, Soviet agents make fun.
Go ahead.
Soviet agents make fun of the fact that they often stand in line at German field kitchens, and are fed. It is time to remind the soldiers of their responsibilities again. And I said that yesterday. Soldiers are soldiers. They were not killers. They did their job. And this was followed up by another order from Manstein on 20th of November. And he said as much as the food that is being shipped here should not be handed to the population. In other words, an army travels on its stomach. That's an old saying. Normally, they grab what they can get from these conquered territories. This was not possible because of that scorched earth policy that Stalin had ordered. There was nothing to eat. So the army had to be fed from the homeland, from Germany or from Poland or something like that. And yet they were caught handing out bread and cigarettes, that's what it says in this order, to the population. And they were warned not to do that. It is sad, it says in there, that people are starving. But hey, we have to fight a war. We have to feed our soldiers. That's our main purpose. And I don't think this is that wrong.
No. I've got to break in here. Don't you think that the Germans tend to be too kind-hearted and too good? Oh mm-hmm. boy, we've gone through our 11 minutes already. And in this case, do you think that if they had just gone ahead and shot partisans randomly, like they said they were not supposed to do, the German army would have been better off in the long run, because they've been accused of it anyway. Yeah, you can answer that more fully when we get back. Okay. And we'll be back in a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here with Will Fink, our Canadian revisionist, and we might call him our resident revisionist pretty soon. Anyway, Will, you had started answering something that I'd brought up.
There'll be an increase in pay, of course, if I'm called resident.
Okay.
Yes, I agree. I agree. If the Germans did, like you said, they were accused of being barbarians anyway, Huns, they're called, and so on and so forth. Officially, they were called in that dispatch following that Moscow conference of 1943 in the official declaration. They were Huns and Hitlerites and so on. If they would have shot them, maybe the problem wouldn't have existed as it did.
Exactly.
Maybe the partisans would have maybe recoiled a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think it was Patton, General Patton, you're one of your own, who said that the German soldiers are the only decent soldiers left. And, of course, he died in somewhat mysterious circumstances. Maybe he said the wrong thing. But I would like to just finish what I said about that Barbarossa order. See, von Reichenau and also von Manstein both mention the system, the Judo-Bolshevik system. Manstein wrote, "The Jewish Bolshevik system must be eradicated once and for all. It must never again interfere in our European habitation." Now, he says system. He didn't say the Jews must be eradicated. He said system. He also used the word ausrotten, and this word has been bandied about endlessly. At the very first, 20 years ago, when I got interested in this, I looked up some dictionaries, some German dictionaries, and in there it still said ausrotten, uprooting, and so on and so forth. Now you look at the dictionary, it's just exclusively killing, so they've even changed the dictionaries.
You know, there's another example. Somebody was pointing out, I forget what it was about. Now, it wasn't about this. It was something altogether different. But they made the case that dictionaries had been changed over some politicized term word. Yep. And it, they proved it through going through all kinds of dictionaries from, you know, from here to there. And it's quite amazing. That is something I've never heard that before, Will.
Yeah, no, this is, and I wish I could get a hold of an old dictionary that's still in my house that I grew up in, and maybe I can get a hold of it. Anyway, talking about this system, at the von Manstein trial, Reginald Paget, the British lawyer, I hope I pronounce it right, he turned the words around a little bit. What he said is, troops display a lack of concern towards the Nazi system, our troops. They have to realize that the reason for going to war against this diabolic Prussian Nazi system is to obliterate the system so it never interferes with the cultural development of Europe again, and so on and so forth. All he substituted is Judeo-Bolshevik system with Nazi system. And in the end of his speech, he asked, is that really so different from what we have published now or is telling our troops now from what the Germans did a while back? And remember, you sent me that video that was issued right following the war, instructing the Allied soldiers not to fraternize with Germans because they are killers at heart. I'm sure you remember that thing.
Yes, yes.
And that's why Paget said this. And I think he made a valid point. Okay, let's finish off with this and let's move on to the chosen people a little bit. And were Jews shot? Of course they were. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about it, in fact. They were Solzhenitsyn writes in his book, 200 Years Together. That book, for some reason, has still not been translated into English. I wonder why. He wrote that about 500,000 Jews served in the Red Army, many of them highly decorated officers.
500,000 Jews?
Yes.
I thought it was five. No, that was a different figure. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow. Now, you know, I mean, there are Jews missing. There's no doubt there's Jews missing. But a lot, I don't know how many of them got shot as regular soldiers. And no doubt they're now being counted as killed in gas chambers or something like that because they're not here anymore. Solomon Schwartz, writes in his book, The Jews in the Soviet Union, and that was published in 1951. Yeah, 1951. He writes, the total number of Jewish partisans in White Russia and Western Ukraine has been estimated at 10 to 11,000. Okay. This is also, that's an estimate.
And now that Schwartz is Jewish.
That correct? Schwartz is, of yeah, Solomon Schwartz is one of his own, their own.
Solomon
like
Schwartz,
you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, another Jew, his name, Leibke Kaganovich, and he changed his name to Leo Kahn when he came to Canada. He lived in Canada, not that far away from where he's died since. He wrote a book, No Time to Mourn. He also talks about Jewish partisans, that they joined existing partisan groups. At first, the Russian or Polish groups would not really accept them. They formed their own groups, and so on and so forth. And did some of them get shot? Of course they did. I mean, not all of them survived. They were caught by the Germans and got shot.
Sure. Okay. Well, we'll pick up with that when we get back for a long segment. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
All right, we have returned, and we're now going to go on try to get cover some ground here. I'm going to give the call-in number, but I do want to tell you that I'm going to let Will finish what he has to say, because I know he's got some good things to say, and I want to make sure he gets that out. So, but the number is 1-800-313-9443 if you have a burning question or comment. All right, Will, please continue.
Okay, I just want to finish with that Leipke Kuganovich, or Leo Kahn, as he called himself. He writes in his book also, and this has nothing really to do with this, but it's also of interest. After the war, he said the streets of Lodz, that's a city in Poland, where it is claimed that the ghetto of that city had been cleaned out by the Germans and every Jew murdered. He writes that the streets were teeming with Jews, that's his words, after the war. He also helped to form a refugee agency, Bricha it is called, B-R-I-C-H-A. I think it's an abbreviation of Hebrew of some sort. And they clandestinely helped thousands upon thousands of Jews to escape. Now, I'm just saying that because I'm sure that all of these Jews, because they have not been officially accounted for, they're all counted into the 6 million. There is also more books were published, and as I said, the Jews bragged about their part in it. There was in the partisan movement, and also in helping to defeat the Nazis. There were no Germans at the time; they were all Nazis. Dr. Aschenauer mentions one book. It's Extermination and Resistance of the Jews in Poland during World War II. It's in German, Fascism, Ghettos, and Mass Murder. It was published in 1960. The authors are Berenstein, Eisenbach, all four of them Jews, and they give details of Jews forming partisan groups and being actively resistant in that was in Poland at that time. There's absolute, it's astonishing how much they helped and how the involvement of them. Another book by Moishe Kaganovich, The Participation of Jews in the Partisan Movement of Soviet Russia. Unfortunately, that book, I found one copy of it. The seller wants $250 for it. I talked to you about it, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. But it is in Yiddish. And I don't try. I mean, I can read because it is very close to German. I can read, but I don't know. For $250, I don't want to really experiment to see if I can understand Yiddish or not.
No, nobody thinks you should do that.
No. Anyway, now, all of that participation has fallen through the cracks now. There was a follow-up trial from the IMT trial, the main trial, from 15 September 47 to 7 March 48 about the Einsatzgruppen. Then there were two West German trials, one in 58 and one in 61. And then it became quiet. But with the demise of the Soviet Union, and this is my theory, so take it for what it is. When the Auschwitz number had to be reduced from 4 million, and it was always assumed that most of them were Jews, had to be dropped to, it's now around 1 million, even less. The 1.5 million that had allegedly been killed by the Einsatzgruppen had to be brought back in to because that 6 million has to be maintained or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the theory now goes that a lot of the killings in the East and the crime scene again is being moved further east. And I call it the second Ostwanderung. The first was when Dachau and so on were dismantled and everything was moved to Poland. And now it's saying that the killings took place in ditches along the road, in little towns and shtetls, the Jewish shtetls. And this is hard to disprove. I mean, how can you, if there were 10 Jews shot alongside the road, how can you say that wasn't so? Because there's no sign of it.
Well, the fact is, there's no sign of it. I mean, there's no graves, but maybe you're going to get into that.
I'll get a little bit into that too. Yeah. In 2006, Saul Friedlander, and I don't think I need to tell you what religion he is, published a book, and at first it was published in Germany, but it has now been translated. The Years of the Extermination is the title, Nazi Germany and the Jews, 1939 to 1945. And he says that he's discarded witness testimony for oral witness testimony, for the most part, he's got a more reliable source, and there are written diaries. Now, they miraculously survived the war and everything, and I find that also, I find it a little hard to believe. Anyway, here is what he said in an interview given to Der Spiegel, which is a German, a big German magazine, news magazine. It's three times the size of Time, which is published over here. And Friedlander told the interviewer, on the German side, and I quote, there was a widespread mythic idea that the Jews would help the Red Army. And then there were the beginnings, albeit very modest, of a partisan war on the part of the Soviets. So the Germans saw women as a potential threat, for example, as messengers. And they shot the children because they weren't prepared to feed all the orphans. Now, what he is saying here in 2007 is what I've been saying all along, that there was only a half-hearted attempt made by the Soviets to have a partisan movement, and that the Jews did not participate. That's a myth.
Is Saul Friedlander saying that that's a myth too, or he's trying?
Yeah,
to
that's him. That's him saying it.
Okay, it's a
that's
myth.
Him.
Okay.
That's him. I'm quoting him. That's what he told the German interviewer. Mm-hmm. And what is so astonishing about this is, why don't historians address this? I mean, if I can find the information that I have given here, so can they. I'm living in the boonies here. Historians, why is that? Because everybody is afraid to ask questions about this Holocaust. They are terrified.
Well, you know, my belief is that they don't want to, because it's a political, it's part of the political framework of today's elite ruling structure, mm-hmm. and they don't want to bring that down. So even historians who might be interested in historical truth can't go ahead with that, because it's politically incorrect. And
yes.
that's a strong, it means more than just that, where you're going to be on the outside of what's, you know, what's approved of. It means something much more than that. You're going to change. Yep. You could bring down the whole system.
Yes,
if you bring
absolutely.
Down the Holocaust, you're going to bring down the whole system. And that's why they uphold it so strongly.
Yeah. Yeah. And Israel depends on the Holocaust, but you're absolutely right. These so-called democracies would all crumble. Should the Holocaust ever be exposed as a hoax?
Yeah, right.
And
okay.
I just want to make one more point here, and then we'll move on a little bit to another thing. This Mr. Friedlander, he forgot one thing. There was a conference convened in Moscow, attended by Jewish dignitaries, and I don't want to go into the names, but there were writers and so on and so forth from all over the world, and they issued an appeal on August 24th, 1941, which reads in part, "We Jews of the Soviet Union have set you an example. If all freedom-loving peoples were to do what the Soviet people are doing, fascism would soon be smashed to bits," said the appeal at a moment when Hitler invaded Russia. "The Red Army is the hope of all mankind. Jews throughout the world, let us collect money, buy 1,000 tanks and 500 airplanes, and ship them to the Red Army." And Solomon Michaels said 1,000 tanks and 500 bombers. Now, is Friedlander not aware of this? I mean, this is an appeal by Jews, by prominent Jews, to all the world, to collect money to equip the Red Army to fight the Germans, and they were themselves participating. Why is he saying that the Jews had no part in it? Now, one could, this is untrue what he's saying.
Oh yeah, he is.
I mean, one could almost have a little stronger word for it, but I
like he's lying. you know, so we've got two things here. We've got that the Jews were very active in supporting, well, this support, this outer support and proclaimed, outwardly proclaimed support for the Soviet Union against the Germans is equivalent to what they were saying in 1933 and after, that they were unequivocally supporting the British Empire and so on against Germany. And so they were always saying that they were they were a total enemy to Nazi Germany. Well, naturally, the Nazis wanted to keep control in Germany, and they became even more and more the most popular party.
Yep.
And so the Jew was the enemy. Now, on the other hand, I think you're saying that many Jews were killed because they were involved in all this fighting.
Yes.
And so on. They were both regular soldiers, and they were also partisans,
mm-hmm.
and lots of things were happening, and to the women and children too were getting killed, and all kinds of Jews were getting killed. So they weren't all killed in gas chambers.
No,
it was just what they want to say.
And yeah, and I'm
they
not.
They weren't all innocent. They weren't all innocently, you know.
They weren't all innocent. No, they were not all innocent. But innocence, unfortunately. War is a nasty business. We should stay out of it. But we haven't learned anything yet. I mean, there's more wars for it now than ever have been. But unfortunately, innocent Jews were also killed. But with this appeal that I just read here and that conference, this all of this appeal was published in November 1941 in a London newspaper. Now, I'm sure German authorities read this and were aware of it, and they had to act accordingly. Here, Jewry of the world, again, as in 1933, the Declaration of War, that famous, again, were told to fight Nazism. Now, how were the Germans to say, and Himmler said it outright, who is a prima Jude, who is a good Jew, and who is a bad Jew? So the innocent suffered as well because of the actions of some of these Jews as that conference in Moscow. And as you have said now, they're painting swastikas and stuff on there. In order to achieve their goal, they don't care who suffers, it seems to me.
No, they sacrifice their own. I made that point when the day you weren't here on, it was either Monday or Wednesday. Okay, do you have time? Can you go into the National Geographic documentary?
Yes. Yeah, I want to start on that right now, and unfortunately we're running out of time again. I should quit yapping and just get to the facts. But anyway, in 2009, a documentary was aired. This documentary produced by National Geographic Society, the title, Nazi Death Squads. There used to be a link to that documentary. It's no longer available. They must have pulled it, but I taped it. And what I did is I sat down and wrote everything down that was said. Also a short description, like I made a transcript of it, which took me hours because, it takes a long time. You have to stop every frame and write down and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I've done that myself.
Yeah, I'm sure we've all done it. And again here, the title, Nazi Death Squads, meaning the Einsatzgruppe. They were nothing about partisan fighting. There is absolutely no mention about it. They were just, their reason for existence, according to them, was to kill Jews. To search these vast expanses of Russia, these 15,000 of them, and find Jews to kill them. There are historians that participated in the making of it. One of them is Peter Black. He's a senior historian at USHMM, the United States Holocaust Memorial. And he starts out, the thing starts out with a picture of the Baltic states and also parts of White Russia, Belarus, Rose. And in each state, there is a drawing of a coffin with a number in it. And it says underneath, it says Judenfrei, meaning free of Jews, suggesting that all the Jews in these states had been killed, which it is a semi-official looking map that they're showing. But no such map exists. This is just a condition, the viewer right up front, so they believe that all of them were killed. One of the historians, Richard Rhodes, the author of Masters of Death, also confirms that this Einsatzgruppen issue had not been addressed. He says, the fact is, to read about the Holocaust and any of its aspects is to be traumatized. I had nightmares. I had great difficulty dealing with this material. Ultimately, what moved me to push through those feelings and tell this story about the Einsatzgruppen was that these victims have never really been celebrated. Their story had never really been told. And even more terrible, I think, the general belief of historians is that the death camps were the center of the story, that the Einsatzgruppen killings generally have been shrugged off as wild excesses of the SS. Which to me basically means that those historians also really did not want to confront this material. Now, this guy is talking nonsense.
Well,
this
had he's really doing some revisionism of history, isn't he?
He is.
All he's admitting is that they haven't proven the gas chambers. They're in big trouble there, so they're moving it to make up things about how many Jews were killed by the Einsatzgruppen.
Absolutely. Okay.
They have no evidence for any of it.
They don't. In this documentary, then we see, and this is really absolutely astonishing after a while. There's a picture of a field. The caption reads, Killing Fields, Ostrozhets, Ukraine. It's a field. It's a meadow. There is not a sign of a grave. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing there that would suggest that people were killed there. But this is what the caption reads. And this is the evidence, so-called evidence, that is provided for these killings. There is no evidence. The next one, it said under following that the Einsatzgruppen shootings claimed an estimated 1,500,000 victims in hundreds of killing sites. The next picture shows a snow-covered landscape, houses in the background, there's bike riders, there's people walking by. And it says, Killing Fields, Chechrets, Ukraine.
Yeah.
There's no sign of any...
No.
Any.
Okay, we'll pick up on that when we come back. We'll be back in a couple minutes, ladies and gentlemen. Stick with us to the end.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesit, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372, or visit terravim.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm talking with Will Hink here about the National Geographic documentary that came out in 2009 that probably was widely viewed and is just completely made up, you know. And I just want to say that they use a very credible organization, which shouldn't be, but it has a great reputation going back into the past. And so people trust the National Geographic. And when the National Geographic puts something out, they think, well, it's really researched. They've looked into this and it's true and they believe it. But the National Geographic has become really an arm of this whole political system that we have, because they've come out with a lot of strange things. Like they've also stood up for the 9/11 against the 9/11 truth information and things like mm-hmm. that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. It's true. Yeah, it's true. And this is really unfortunate, because National Geographic, I love to watch some of their shows about animals and stuff like that. They're really great done, and it's too bad they're allowing themselves to be used for this kind of stuff, because if it was a decent documentary showing proof of what is alleged, solid evidence, I would have no problem with that, because my intention here is not, and I'd like to make that clear, is not to excuse anything or anything, but I'd like to be convinced that what is being told is based on solid evidence, not just on somebody telling me. And they're showing me a field. There's a guy walking around with a metal detector that's out of, from that film, also from that documentary. All of a sudden, the camera focuses on him, and his metal detector beeps, and he picks up a spent rifle shell. Now, if that isn't proof that 15,000 Jews were killed there, I mean, what more do you want? I mean, this whole thing, to sit through it, this is an insult to anybody that has just the slightest subject knowledge. They later on bring in this Father Patrick Dubois, a French priest who is crawling around in the East uncovering graves. He is not a trained investigator. He's not a forensic expert. He has absolutely no clue. So he tells us that in the documentary, that he was very hard to understand. He has interviewed 823 witnesses. Each interview is a way to rebuild a crime. And there's a picture of an elderly woman as well as a man in a hand holding what appears to be a piece of bone. Now, again, is that supposed to be evidence? I mean, geez, that could be a chicken bone. So it's...
it's just like, you know, this is all... This is what we get. And we just need to educate people to ask questions about what they're looking at. Because I was talking with a fellow named Charlie called on the day that you weren't able to be here. And we had a nice, he brought up the subject of filmmaking. And we were talking mm-hmm. about how video can, mm-hmm. is very powerful. And people see it and they hear the sound, they mm-hmm. hear the words, and then there's the pictures and so on. And it's all saying, this means this, you know, this is this. And they don't have any resistance to that, so many people.
No,
they believe it. And so video can work against us just as well as for us, and people need to be so much more critical about this. Do you have any last words to sum this all up for us?
Well, not really. You said it well. I'm not trying to excuse anything. If a crime happened, that the perpetrator should be punished. But I need to be convinced. And so far, I have not seen convincing evidence that this can be substantiated, what Germans are being charged with.
A fact is, Wilf, we know they don't have any evidence. That's why they keep shifting it around. And so we just have to keep pointing that out. Wilf, I want to thank you for your contributions. Very valuable this week. And we look forward to your coming back as soon as your computer gets well again.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. And goodbye, ladies and gentlemen, for this week. We'll be back on Monday. Please join us then.
Gold ever climbing as the dollar continues.